You are now listening to an Average Joe Media production.
Shaciology, baby. Show love. Show peace.
Unlock it.
They say girls just wanna have fun. Give a little more time to the ones they love, yeah. They say girls just wanna have fun, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've been waiting all week for this one. Come together with your friends, share the love. Shaciology, baby.
All right. It's your girl, Sean J, your host, your favorite host, Sean J. With another episode and the last episode of season 3, finally. Ooh, celebration, celebration. Round of applause, round of applause. The end of season 3, Shaciology. I know it's been a minute. I have recorded in between time. However, I have not put any episodes out at all. And I'm not too proud of that. Like, if I'm being honest, I'm not proud that I have not put out an episode. My goal was to really invest in myself at the time that I bought my podcast equipment, and I spent some money on it, like, and I directly paid for it. I didn't even do like a payment plan, even though I learned that I could. And I was like, oh yeah. And then I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just pay for it. And I have this like all this equipment to myself, to my, you know, access, and here I am not even using it, and I use all that damn money. I spent all that money. So I was like, girl, get your life together. So I was just having like an epiphany all last night. It was like, I haven't been able to sleep for a minute, and I was just having an epiphany. Like, I really need to invest in myself. Like, I really need to put myself out there and continue on with my Shaciology. So here is me. Even with a, you know, a video, like a YouTube, in a potential YouTube video, I'm even recording myself, and I fucked up because I didn't get the beginning. But anyway, so to just start off really like something light, I was just talking to my boyfriend right before he left out the room, and we was talking about hearing our parents doing the do. And so I think, for the most part, a lot of people have heard their parents do the do, to at least a certain degree. Like, or you assume you heard something, or I don't know, like, how to really say it. Like, there has to be something out there. People can relate, okay? Anyway, so I was talking about that, and I was like, you know what? But my mama actually called me one time. Oh, shoot. She called me one time, and I was like, she pretty much walked in on me with my pants down. And honey, when I say I was embarrassed, I wanted to die. So to this day, like, I still say that, oh, he was trying to like finger me. But my mom would be like, every time, like, no, you're lying. You're absolutely lying. So I'm like, touche. Like, you know, I heard her, she heard me, you know, like, it's not something that I'm proud of on both ends, as a matter of fact. But it happened, you know, and I was surprised that I even survived. Like, that's as embarrassing, cringy as that is, I still survived. My mama could have came in there like, boo, boop, 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 because, you know, I'm in her house doing that, pants down. He ain't got nothing, though. Like, he's, like, fully clothed. Like, you know, because all he had to do was just, we were trying to do a little something. So it's just embarrassing. Like, it's embarrassing. And she was calm. Like, she didn't wail on me. She didn't do anything. But she kind of just gave me, like, that lecture to make me feel bad. And I was just like, oh, my God. And I was so embarrassed. And she told people. So that was a punishment within itself. But, you know, touche, sis. You know, it's no one's dream to hear your parents or you hear your child. So we have that to laugh about. But I feel like mine was kind of like iffy. Man, I heard a girl. Anyway, but so I was just talking about that. So Speaking of surviving, I really wanted to, like, end my podcast talking about my experience. Like, okay, so granted, season 3 was about dating, right? And it's crazy because while I was talking about dating and speaking with people about dating, different types of people that whether they believed in monogamy or polygamy, am I saying it right? Whether they believe in those types of relationships, I ventured into interracial relationships. I have a couple episodes that I've recorded that is not out, but about weight loss surgery, dating after weight loss surgery, which I can relate to, you know, me having weight loss surgery September 9th, 2022. Losing what, like 80 pounds now? I have to go calculate. But I'm still trying to get there. My goal is 100. My goal is, I don't know if I should be telling what my goal is. I'm not going to tell my goal is until I get, like, closer to it. I do plan on, like, even announcing my actual, like, original, like, weight, the start-off weight. That's something that's really hard for me. So, like, as much as I want to do it because I feel like that's honesty and that's transparency, like, I feel like I can get people that can really relate to being that size, it's really hard for me because I'm not at my goal weight or I'm not closer to my goal weight. So I just decided to not, like, exploit that quite yet. But I will announce it. Like, that's not something that I feel like I'm going to hide for the rest of my life. Even my breast size. Like, my breast size is so, like, cringy to talk about. I don't discuss that. Granted, you know, people really want to know. but, yeah, so for the most part, that's kind of, like, where I am, but I have, like, a lot going on with that. So what I really wanted to end Chanceology about, even though it was about dating, I ended up finding love. I found love a little faster than I anticipated, which that's how God is, like. But I wanted to end this season with me and my spouse, me actually put him on my podcast and debuting him as, hey, I went through all these dating conversations. This is my spouse and I found love. Like, you know, like I was saying, God, the saying goes, man plan, God laughs. That is very true because I was planning on being this single girl with this weight loss surgery and I'm going to be popping my shit and then my husband was like, hey girl, yeah, you're about to be domesticated. And I was like, what? I'm going to be popping my shit. but that's not how it works. You know, I didn't really necessarily give up on love, but I was just like, whatever. And so he came. So a blessing like that. It's just how it goes. So I took that and I've been in this healthy relationship that challenges me and puts me through the ringer and really makes me look at myself, and I love it. I enjoy it. And we did record the episode on my birthday, so that episode will also come out as well. He set it up with a surprise because I did say that's what I wanted, one of my gifts. So he did that for me. So that episode will come out. But then something really big happened to me. And as crazy as it may sound, I really feel like I had a near-death experience. And let me explain. So it all started as a cough on, it was like, I believe January 23rd or 22nd, something like that. 22nd, I believe. That Monday, I had a little, and I was like, ooh, okay. So it was crazy because I had just started saying, a lot of people are calling, cackling on my damn phone. I'm like, spiritual sickness is real. Now, granted, I had just posted this like January 19th or something. I don't know. And I posted it on my TikTok and everything. And I'm just like, yeah, nobody gonna get me sick. My mom at some point was sick. And, you know, it was just a lie. Like, my aunt had got sick. But not really from, like, the flu. But she got sick. So I'm like, okay. You know? So what ended up happening is I started off with this little... And then I was like, and then come Monday night, I was like, oh my God. And my body was just like, yeah, sickness. And I was just like, what the fuck? So I was tore up. I had the flu and I also had pneumonia. I was so scared of this sickness that I went to the hospital to the emergency room five fucking times. And I was about to go to the six because I was like, this shiznit is hurting me. And it was like, the shit was all in my back. It was all in my, like, lower right breast, up, like, you know, under, like, my rib cage. Like, it was terrible. And so when I first went, I felt like my boyfriend was kind of like, okay, girl, they're taking a long time, you know? And I was just, like, kind of impatient a little bit. And I was just like, okay, well, I won't get all the tests. So I didn't end up getting the CT scan, but I did get the, like, x-ray of my lungs. And they kind of was just like, well, it looks fine. It looks like you had the flu. That's pretty much, as a matter of fact, no, he didn't even say that. He was just like, okay, well, if you don't want to get the CT scan, I understand. And he sent me home, the doctor. So then I still couldn't get better. I was puking. I was sick. So my mom was like, okay. I was like, I need to go back. So my mama took me this time. And it was comforting to have my mom because when I would get sick when I was younger, it was just like our ritual where I would just be in her room. Like, and I felt like, and I, it was so crazy because recently I told my boyfriend this and I recently told my mom, but, I felt like when I would get sick sometimes it was because I needed my mom. Like, she had a lot going on. She was a single mom. My sister was a little out there, streetwise. And so my mom was kind of stressed with that. And, you know, she had her own stuff going on, things that she was dealing with that sometimes she really couldn't explain to us as kids. And so there were times where I just kind of sat as a middle child, like, wait my turn. And so I would get sick. And I really feel like that was my time to, like, really be with my mom. Like, now, granted, I really was sick, but it was, like, my body way of saying, okay, it's enough of you thinking you independent. It's enough of you thinking that you don't need her. You need her. Ask her. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it was our thing. And it was, like, the door would be closed, and it would just be me and my mama. And that was, like, my thing. I felt like my way of, like, really connecting with her and remembering those times. So when she took me to the emergency room this particular time, I felt like it all over again. I was like, I want my mommy. Like, I want back in her bed. I want back in her life. So she ended up taking me to the emergency room. I got the CT scan. They found that I had the flu. And they end up kind of, I don't even think at the time, they didn't really see the pneumonia, or they didn't really, like, address it, I don't believe, the second time around. So I ended up going the third time because it was so bad. Like, I was out of it. My body was in so much pain. My legs felt like they were, like, so heavy. Like, I was dragging myself. Like, I was in so much pain. Like, I couldn't even understand the pain, too. It was, like, everywhere, like, in weird places. Like, my shoulder would start hurting. I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, you know, like, I was just in pain. And I just felt like it was never ending. Like, it snapped on me so fast. And then it was there for 2 weeks. Like, I barely even had time to really call out. Like, I was just tore up. Like, and I was just like, it felt like it was just never going to end. It was giving me medicine, but I couldn't eat. I barely could drink. I could barely keep anything down. It got to the point where I was puking every night and every morning. And it was like, take the medicine every night and every morning. I'm like, well, I can't stop throwing up. Like, you know, so, and I wasn't eating. And every medicine they gave me said, eat, may take this. And so I would still shove these pills down my throat. Like, I would get this, all the throw up I can out. And then I would be like, okay. And I would pop these medications. And I would try to, like, sporadically do it so that the one medicine can really take its place. Like, you know, be able to really work. And, like, I'm not just shoving down all these pills. But, you know, granted, if I'm not taking the pain pills, then I'm taking the medicine, that antibiotics, to get rid of the pneumonia. Because the third time I went, that's when they addressed the pneumonia. But I ended up leaving because they were like, it was just, they weren't taking, I just felt so not taken care of, like, the third time. So this time, my mom, the third time, was, like, just so freaked out about me being, like, my eyes just going everywhere. Like, I couldn't get my eyes to connect. or I just couldn't focus. I was in so much pain. And it was like my head was just, oh my God. It was just a fog of just pain. And I was just remembering just like, this is too much. And I couldn't focus. I couldn't get my eyes to stay. And, you know, they'll say, close your eyes. And I'm like, I'm scared. Like, I can't go to sleep. Waking up was like treacherous. Like, if I woke up, I was like, trying to catch my breath for like the next like hour. Like, you know, so it was horrible. So sleeping was out of the question. So it was like closing my eyes put fear in me that I wasn't going to wake up. I was going to go to sleep and just be like, wait, because I'm a snorer too. So mind you, I probably got sleep apnea. Like, so here I am just like, you know, and it just brought a lot of fear in me. And it caused me to say, like, because, you know, I've been through a lot of enough sickness. I've had the flu before. I've had miscarriages. I've dealt with stuff while I'm working. Like, I had the flu one time, and I was full-blown working because I had just started a job a month before. So I couldn't ask for it off because I was technically still in training. So I had the flu. And then I ended up having a miscarriage. So the first day, I had to call out because I was screaming at the top of my lungs. But then the second day, it was manageable, but I would literally have contractions in between my shifts, and then I would be so heavy. Because, you know, I'm still, you know, letting the residue of the stuff is still coming out. And I was still going, I was still working. The busiest time of the year at that. So it was like, girl, what is wrong with you? And it knocked me down. It put so much fear in me. It scared me as like, am I really like this strong woman? Do I really have what it like, you know, like I was like giving up. Like I was like, it's not like I wanted to die, but it was just like this. Just can't be it. Like when is this gonna end, you know? Like, and so it kind of downed me even after I started getting better. So that Wednesday, I woke up again. I'm puking. I'm at this point, I'm not even going to the bathroom no more. Like, I got the trash can right there, like, because I'm too weak in the morning. Like, mind you, like, my body's aching so bad. I haven't ate, I haven't drank, so my body is, like, weak as shit. I'm losing weight, water weight, because I haven't really drank anything worth shit that, you know, like, I'm just doing that. And I'm taking antibiotics, so I'm still boo-booing, like, so I'm still defecating a little bit, but I'm not defecating much. Like, I'm not actually doing anything worth the toilet. So it's just like little psh, psh, psh. So I'm also kind of constipated, so it was so much, like, you know, the pain pills constipate you. So my body was just, it was just tore the hell up. Like, I just, it didn't know if it was coming or going, if it was healing or sick. And so my boyfriend took care of the kids 100% for me. Like, it was a blessing to have him. I don't know what I would have done, because like, walking was, like, a terror. Rolling over was a terror. So, it was just like, what the hell was I going to do with my kids? And it got to the point my daughter even got really upset and started crying because she was scared. My son got scared at one point, too, because I started, like doing the eye thing. And I can remember him making jokes, but he was starting to feel uncomfortable because he started, like, literally staring at me. So, it got to the point where my boyfriend was like, okay, you need to go to the hospital. That was the first time. So, he went to the hospital with me, I believe once, and my mom took me, and at one point I took myself. Like, I snuck out the house and just went. And at first I was just going to sit in the car and let the car kind of heat up and warm up on me. But like, something in me was also like, I'm going to this hospital if I can't warm up. Like, 'cause I'm having chills too. So I'm like shivering, like shaking. And my body is like, I don't have a fever, but I have the biggest chills. Like, I'm freezing. Okay. So after that, I feel like my boyfriend was just kind of like, you got to stop going to the ER. They're not going to help you. You're running up a bill. You're freaking out. You got to take your meds. You got to give it time. He's talking to doctors for me. He's reaching out for resources because he's connected to doctors and stuff like that. He's getting opinions. They're telling me the same thing. And I just was scared. I was simply scared. And he was giving me the tough love. My mom was giving me the nurturing love that I needed. And she was sympathizing with me because she's never had pneumonia. So she's like, well, listen, I never had pneumonia. I had the flu before. I never had pneumonia. She was like, so I can't, you know, technically tell you how to feel. So she was just like, so anytime I was like, I'm ready to go to the hospital, she was like, okay, well, I'm going to the hospital with you. And I was just like, okay, you know. And I appreciated her a lot more at the time. Like, I was just like, my mom is superhero. Whereas with my boyfriend, I felt disconnected to him. I was like, I don't think that you're sympathizing with me, and you know. And so the last day where I started to kind of regroup or allow myself to regroup was a Wednesday. And so that was like the second or something like that. I have to look. I don't really feel like it. but it was like I was puking in a trash can. And he said, did you take the, because he went to the Walgreens and he bought me a Mucinex. And the Mucinex DM, because he remembered someone recommending this. And he said, this is really good. I Googled it. I've been researching it. This medication is really good. So I think I took it maybe like once or twice, but not as consistent. So it got to the point where I even stopped taking my medication because it was a bothersome. Like, it was, I don't know what my body was doing. It wasn't working. So at this point, I'm like, I'm tired of taking them. I'm already struggling taking capsules. I'm just over it. So he looked at me. He said, you don't want to get better. And he walked away. And I was just like, and I'm literally just finished puking. Like, the trash can is literally right there. So I'm like, and, you know, whenever he tell me to take my medicine or he'll remind me, like, for the most part, I did it. Like, anytime he told me to do something, I did it. But I think what frustrated with him was that I kept going to the ED or ER. And also because I think he was frustrated with the situation because he's like, okay, something's going on. Let me fix it. Let me just get it. Like, let's get it done. Let's da da da. If, you know, the doctor said do this, he would run to the doctor, to the pharmacy, get the medication for me, give me the drinks, tell me to take my medicine, remind me, you know, and he'll get the kids ready. He picking the kids up from school. He feeding them. I can't stand the smell of food. So, like, he couldn't cook. So he had to keep buying food outside. I couldn't really eat. So that happened. I couldn't stand like any type of like smoke, any type of like strong smells. So it's like instant no, baby. I couldn't really eat. Like, I couldn't eat nothing really. What else? Like, I just put him on like true restrictions. Like, it was just like couldn't be too cold because I was freezing. So the house had to be hot. It had to be like a certain like degrees. Like, it was like everything changed. Taste buds, vision, everything. Like, I was a fog of everything. Like, I had medicine galore. I was taking even muscle relaxers, and they were putting me into a fog because they were so strong. They are so strong. And so it was just a lot. So when it was time, I've just felt like, you're treating me so bad because you're still being so impatient with me. Da, 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 da. And what I end up interpreting it was, or understanding that it was, after a long amount of arguing and getting another perspective, is that he's a fixer. And I think that he was more frustrated with the situation, that he couldn't help me, that he couldn't get me through it. He wanted to encourage me, and instill like, hey, make sure you take your medication, you know, make sure you're doing this. And I was just, like, being stubborn at one point because I was just like, this shit not working. And, you know, like, I'm ready to go back to the hospital. They about to admit me because, like, maybe I'm not going to survive this. So I feel like my willpower to get better, because I, like, kind of in spite of him, like, you got me messed up because you just going, you know, like, I'm independent, should I say. You got me messed up and I ain't finna depend on nobody. But really what it was a bruise to my ego. Like, to really look at myself and say, girl, you need to be soft. Girl, you need people. And you need people in all types of ways. And he challenged my ego. He challenged my ability to not need anybody, to be dependable. And I was frustrated myself because I felt like I can go through it all. I can do it all. And, you know, I don't need no man. And I didn't even think, like, that wasn't even my thought process. It was just like, well, I've been through some shit. You know, I've been sick before. So I get over this in 2 days. And when 2 days turned to three, and then 2 days, four, five, six, and I was like, oh, my God, this is my life, you know? So it was a bruise to my ego, and I took it out on him. And I was just like, I just felt like you wasn't there for me. And I just do it by myself. And I was like, really? But I couldn't do it by myself. I would call my mama and everything, so I couldn't. So that was a turnaround to me. So once I got the perspective, I definitely had to go back and apologize because at the end of the day, he was there for me, and he was there for me the best way that he knew how. And then he didn't agree with me going to the emergency room 6, 7, 10, 5 times, but he did it. He did say, you know, you got to do what you got to do, babe, you know. And so I had to really look at that. And so for myself, during this time, I've been on just like, I need to invest in me. Like, I really need to invest in the weight loss. I need to invest in my health. I went to the doctor recently and they were like, well, because of this pneumonia flu situation, I've been to the doctor. They wanted to really refer me to a cardiologist because at the time my heart rate was a little too low for somebody who had the flu and pneumonia and that was breathing as bad as I was. So it was weird. And so they wanted me to speak to a cardiologist or see a cardiologist. But by the time I went to the doctor and all those things, I'm fine now. We didn't recommend it, but we will be doing a lot of lab work. And going to the doctor, I was well aware of my anemia, but not to the point that it was like, I was like, oh, it's kind of low. And then he was looking at my nails and he's like, your nails are white and they, you know, should not be white. And I was just like, huh? They're white. What's the tea? And he was just like, yeah, you're definitely anemic. And he was like, you really should get on birth control and, you know, you should really look into it because, girl, you're anemic. And I was just like, well, you need to really watch your mouth. But, you know, he read me. And so I went home and I was just like, okay, let me start this really quick. Oh shoot, I'm about to go live on Instagram. I'm about to go live on Instagram. So when he read me for fails, like, and he was like, listen, sis, you anemic and you stop playing with your anemia and you had gastric sleeve, but there's no excuse because you didn't get the one that takes away your nutrients. You got the one that will make you smaller, but, and you probably have to do a little bit extra, but you need to get your shit together. And I was just like, what? I mean, it's not even as serious. And so I went home and I started buying the vitamins. Like, I was like, it's time. Like, you know, I want to get my health back together again. Like, I'm want to be fine, of course, but in order for me to be fine, I also need to have the energy to be fine. So I went home, I started buying my vitamins. I found some good ass vitamins that have iron in it. Also my other stuff, so hair, skin, and nails, you know, just gotta be cute. And, you know, multivitamin, women multivitamins, a lot of vitamins. And tried to get on my FSA, but they wasn't trying to let me use that. But it's cool, but I got it, you know? And so starting that, I got it surrounded on my work desk, so ain't no excuses, you know? And so as I'm saying this, like, I'm like, okay, I really wanna invest in myself too as well. So the beginning of the year, I was starting strength training and I used JNT, Juice and Toya YouTube videos. They are the freaking truth. Like, I have literally no issues with these people. Like, these people be, when they tell you you're working this out, you're working the shit out. Like, I feel that thing. And like, I love working out with them because it makes me feel like I have an accountability partner, like somebody who's like watching me and I'm watching them and we're trying to, like, I'm trying to match their energy. I'm trying to catch up to them. I'm not quite there yet. Like, they have like 20 minute, 30 minute videos. I'm giving 15. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I'm giving a good 15 of JNT and Juice and Toya, but I really feel like they're gonna like really get me there, like help me get me there as I also find ways to do it on my own, like as far as eating right and just staying consistent, like staying dedicated. So with this near-death experience, I had a business reach out to me about, like, you know, like advertising their stuff. And so I'm kind of investing in that. They're called Chams Active. Now, by the time this episode comes out, my items should be here. So I'll be able to judge this and let you know, like, hey, they're not no good. I don't get no bitches. Or I could be like, oh, y'all, use my code. Da-da-da-da. You know, advertise it. I really can't. I don't want a lot of y'all yet. I hope by the time I do come out with this episode, I'm like, hell yeah, y'all better get y'all some Chams because, baby, I look good as hell. And I think I kind of gravitated towards them because they were not a VIP situation. And nobody else was asking me, by the way. They the only person who asked me. But hey, if you're still on there, because you said it like 15 minutes ago. Shine. they have some really nice stuff. Like, beyond whether I look good in it or not, I know the stuff look good. Like, this stuff looks really good, the material and all that. And I've seen videos, so the stuff look good. So regardless of it, I hope, fingers crossed, it just fits me. Like, you know, I have body parts, you know, I have a lot of body parts, but it's all about compressing and being comfortable as well. So, and you know, I'm still in this gap phase with the tights. It's not that appealing, so hopefully I don't have to deal with that as well. But so, you know, I'm willing and ready to really invest in Shantiology, Shawn J. Shanti, because she has a lot going on. Like it's a lot. Like, I really feel like putting myself out there won't be as bad. Now, I'm in season 3. I'm excited to end season 3. It's about that time. Been that time. And I'm ready to really start season 4. I feel like ending it with my near death experience. and making me realize that my transition and investing in myself and my future from school, because I'm in school for my bachelor's degree, and even at one point I wanted to quit because the sickness was so much and it made me back up in so many assignments. Like, by the time I had that computer in front of me, I had like 12 assignments, baby. Like, your girl was backed the up. I don't even know how I survived, but I did, and I was proud of myself. And well, I worked through that. I worked on being proud to be proud of myself, because I kept thinking to myself, like, I really did do some like boss ass shit though. Like, I did, and I did end up being able to do my assignment, even though I missed an assignment. For the first time ever, I missed an assignment. I don't miss assignments. Even if I get a bad grade, I'm doing that shit. But I could not do this assignment because it was too much on me. I feel like with my brain, with all the medications I was taking, I was fried. Like, I couldn't do anything. So, and I wasn't eating. I was barely drinking. I probably was dehydrated. So, what energy do I have to be like this? And when everything hurts. So, I had to miss that assignment. That was very disappointing, but I'm still in the class with a B, so I'm not, you know, dying. I'm still afloat. I'm still catching up. I have a new class starting on Monday, and I have a training that I'm starting at work for the next 3 weeks. So I'm busy, 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 but I'm going to invest in me, because while these things are happening, like, it's so crazy how much it's aligned and how school has aligned with my job, and my job changes and opportunities is insane. Like, I'm like, how do you know this? How am I always writing a paper about my job? So, and it's like even aligned with my relationship at the time. Like, at one point, my relationship and my classes were like, is she somebody watching me? Is she getting weird? But it just made me realize that I was in the right place, and this is where God is telling me I should be at. And it also made me really listen. I feel like I'm more able to listen to God. And the sickness was like me really crying out to God. And like literally, no. I was crying out to him. Because please, save me. Don't let me die. And so, as dramatic as it may seem, I really feel like that was a wake-up call for me. And you never know. Like, it was a wake-up call. It was a reflection. It was everything. Like, I really looked at myself and said it was, like, time. I had to take accountability for allowing myself to be so upset that I took it out on my spouse. And I misunderstood his presence in my life. And also, it made me to remind myself to be soft. To remind myself to say it's okay to need people. And that's okay. Like, you know, I could be the dependable. I could be a depend on your motherfucking taxes or something, you know. And so, I don't know. It made me stronger in myself as well, too, because I'm like, there's so many things I want to do, and I got to do that shit. And I got to work hard for that shit. And, you know, I'm going to mess up, but then I'm going to come back. And I'm going to keep doing it. So, you know, losing almost 80 pounds, or losing 80 pounds, I'm about to get fine on you hoes. Soon they get these titties off too as well. You know, they got to get these titties off. I'm about to get fine, and I'm about to pop my shit. I'm not going to be humble. I'm not. I'm being a healthy, beautiful relationship, though. I'm going to make sure of that. But Shanti as an individual, Shawn J, is going to absolutely pop her motherfucking shit. And I want you guys to know that. I do apologize if you know, I just apologize in advance. And I'm cleansing myself. I'm cleansing my Instagram. I'm cleansing my TikTok. I'm following people that align with what I'm trying to do. If you made me laugh before, ha ha ha. If I loved you as a couple, if I loved you as an individual, and you had the beautiful, most prettiest hair on the planet, that's nice. I'm about to unfollow you because you don't align what I'm trying to do in my life. And I expect people to do the same thing for me. Like, if I'm not meeting your expectations and your standards of who you are right now, like if what I feed my timeline and my page doesn't align with who you are, baby, delete me, unfollow me. I get it. I won't even take it personal. I won't even be in your inbox like, why did you unfollow me? Because I'm going to be like, listen, if you family though, you got me fucked up. But everybody else, like, if I don't align with who you are and I don't represent who you were trying to be, don't follow me, and I won't follow you either. So that's where I am at since my near-death experience. I wanted to end it just with that because at the end of the day, like, Shanceology is about reflection. It's about motherhood. It's about accountability. It's about so much shit, you know, right? So, you know, as much as I'm like, Jada, putting yourself in your own seat and, you know, putting that mirror in front of you, because you can interview everybody. You can have conversations with everybody that you can relate to, not relate to. Broaden your spectrum. But if you're not taking accountability and coming back for yourself and saying, hey, that person that I was 6 episodes ago, after learning different perspectives, that's not me anymore, you know, that's what I want to do. Like, that's what I want Shanceology to be about. It's me saying, I'm learning all these things from these guests, I'm learning all these things from the world, my experiences, school, God, my family, I'm learning all these things, right? And so then here I am, I'm gonna put it out there, like, you know. And then as I bring these people on, they teach me and I'm learning and I'm researching and I'm getting the understanding of people, I realize that it's time for me to humble myself. I don't know it all, you know, like, you know, open my horizons and beyond my, you know, where I grew up at or who I know and what I think I know. It's about learning and saying, what, that's not for me, or I like that, or I fucks with that. So that's kind of like where I am. Also in the process of also investing in myself. Like, again, it's so many things that I want to do. And I feel like this time when I got started to get better, right before I went back to work, or while I was even working, it was like about reflection. Like, I really had to take accountability for knowing that I'm not always that strong girl. I don't always got to be that strong girl. And it's time to be soft and it's time to invest in you. And however that looks for me, y'all might see me popping my thing, you know, thinking I'm the finest thing out here one day. And then you might hear me be like, oh my God, like, I'm ugly, my locks are ugly, you know, like, but it's me at this level. And I hope that whoever is following me, I do align with who you're trying to be or align with what you believe. If you're following me and if you're listening to my podcast, I hope that we can relate and we can learn together, because we don't got it all together, okay? And this sickness taught me that I ain't got it all together. And, you know, I hope to one day have it all together. And I hope that while I'm doing that, I'm helping somebody else get it together too, because I'm a middle child. So sometimes you watch the oldest child get in trouble or the youngest child get in trouble, and then you realize, that ain't for me. So I'm gonna end this live right now. Oh wait, I'm trying to send stuff. Okay, so I'm ending my live, and I'm gonna also end Shanceology. Today is February 9th, 2024, the last episode of Shanceology for season 3. Season 4, I'm not quite sure my direction, but you will get more personal episodes and videos of me, and probably more even like audio and workout and just everything that I am, like more visual now, as I start to like really love my body. So I like my body in clothes a little bit more and more every day. Maybe not completely naked, but like, I be kind of cute, you know, when I got on some clothes and my hair done, or even like wearing my hats. Like, I've been wearing my natural hair for the last couple weeks. Because while I was sick, I was just like ripping my hair out. Like, it was like the way of getting like the shit out of my mind. Like, I would just be, like, just taking my hair out. So I end up just being like that. I probably cut, like, 2 or 3 locks. Like, yeah, but I plan on getting my locks. Just see if I can get them fixed on March 13th, which would be my 2-year lockversary. So that's a whole nother story. I won't bore y'all with that. But so I wanted to end it with my near-death experience and just moving forward of season 4 about who I am and everything that I've experienced, like controversial things as well. So I might be having motherfuckers like, you know, and it might even be 15 to 20 minute audio, you know, podcast episodes, or it may be long episodes depending on what it is. But I do want to incorporate more visuals as I start loving on me because I'm cute. I do mean that as humble as I know how. I'm damn near started a fire. So it's like, you know, I had my incense burning, you know, because I was trying to catch a vibe, you know, get a little smell good in here. But I had some technical difficulties, so it kind of like wiped my little confidence away. But I don't know how to wrap it together and make it look cute. or the other person is gonna edit for me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for still sticking with your girl. I don't care, 5 of the 6 people that's listening, subscribed, you know, the stats don't matter right now, but eventually it will. But for the people that do listen, which I have some people that definitely listen and they give me input all the time, I love y'all. Like, y'all really motivate me to continue to do it. And I am going to continue to do it because it's like a therapy. Like, it's like a, because baby, I've been pent up, you know? But I do also do a lot of TikTok. Like controversial conversations. I try to stick with my own experiences though, so just out of respect, because again, I'm still learning and I'm still teaching. So follow me on TikTok at SeanJ88, and then SeanCology Instagram, and then Facebook, SeanJ Johnson. Now I say because I feel like Facebook is more of a friendship family situation. I don't add everybody on Facebook, but I will add you on like Instagram and TikTok because I like conversation. If you have value to what I'm doing, like from locks to weight loss to just anything that's positive and that really will feed me like internally, I'm all for following you. If you just got a lot going on, and I'm not trying to say I'm perfect now, because I do follow my shade room and stuff like that, and that's why I'm not saying that, but I have to have my limits, you know? And I also sometimes don't visit the blogs when I do feel like I'm a little overwhelmed. So I just have to be more proactive with that. So I don't just follow like local people because you follow me. But if you have substance to your page, because I want you to feel the same way about me, follow me, you know, and I follow back. So again, TikTok is SeanJ88. You'll see my Seanology logo as my thing. I want to make sure that Sean, because I'll be over here July. SeanJ88, yeah. But Sean is SeanJai88. I'll also put it in the description. And then Seanology, of course, is SeanCology. If you're new to Seanology, go back and look at some episodes to see why Seanology is spelled that way. But again, this is your favorite host, SeanJ, and thank you. I don't know how to end this right now. So awkward, you know.
Seanology, baby. Show love. Show peace. They say girls just wanna have fun. Give a little more time to the ones they love, yeah. They say girls just wanna have fun, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've been waiting all week for this one. Come together with your friends, share the love. Seanology, baby.